you see your sizzling bacon. What's that you say?
More bacon than the pan.
Do the bacon boogie.
I can smell bacon everywhere I go right now.
The neighborhood smells like bacon. This is amazing. The bacon-o-meter exploded.
Bacon-o-rific.
Good golly.
The bacon-o-meter folded itself over to a shape of a heart because that's what I feel.
Oh, man. You guys helped us in the last day. You guys took us from just under our mark over to $270. We're amazed. We're encouraged. We're thankful. We're humbled by what you have done for us so that we can not only help us pay our bills, but encourage us to keep doing this stuff.
Thanks to your support, we will continue for another year, and we are on the countdown now to our 100th episode.
100th, I think this is 91. Man, so close. Plus, oh man, so good.
Yeah.
So as we agreed, a dance video is being edited and will be coming out soon. So watch for that on the Facebook page.
And please comment, who's the best dancer?
Yes, most importantly.
Most likely you're all going to agree, it's Steve.
It's probably Steve.
Oh,
it's true.
Oh, wait. I was expecting
no, that's
to
a good
say
thing.
Someone else.
No, that's Steve.
I'm not allowed to dance in public, my wife says, so.
Well, at least it's not on the internet. Wait, it will be.
Yes, thank you so much.
Link to Carrie.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, now let's get into the
bacon boogie.
More bacon than the pan.
Do the bacon boogie.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that covers hot topics, current events, and answers your questions to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. Here's Dr. Chad Graham, Pastor Al Desjardins, and your host, Steve Bastian.
So, we were discussing 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And Al had the idea behind this that we should come up with some resources for each of these phases or stages of Christian maturity. Do you mind if I read this verse first before
no, go for
I
it,
ask
man.
You any questions?
If either one of us say we mind you reading the Bible, then we should probably not be on the podcast.
Well, it's not about minding reading the Bible. It might be minding Steve
reading the Bible.
Oh, okay.
So starting at verse 12, 1 John chapter 2. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one.
Yeah. So generally, there's a bunch of interpretations of this, as there usually is. But so Chad is arguing with me. Now, the reason that I came up with this idea of having three different phases of Christianity and some resources for each one, because there's listeners to our podcast that are new, some that have been a Christian for a while, and some that are old. I thought that this would be a great verse, but Chad doesn't seem to agree with that particular interpretation.
No, well, I never argue with you. I just mock and belittle you.
Is that why I always feel bad about myself? I hadn't... Okay, now I'm beginning to notice.
Al's talking about three phases or ages of Christians. You have the little, you know, baby, you know, young and mature. Chad, what's right?
No, you know what? I actually really don't argue with Al, at least on this point. What he's talking about is just growing through your Christian walk, which is a wonderful thing. I think this text... is not best understood as being any kind of what we were talking about was I don't think this text is designed to represent hard divisions between babies, younger Christians, and older Christians as such, although that is a popular interpretation you do hear. Most scholars of the Johannine epistles would reject that just because of the way that John traditionally writes. But the one point that I will make that I think is really important here is the context of these verses. John has said that he is writing to his beloved children, that they are to obey the new commandment of Christ, that is, that they love one another, and explains that if you don't have a love for the saints, then you cannot be a believer. This is the same thing that Jesus had taught him. And in the end of it, in verses 15 and 16 and 17, John makes the point that as believers, we're not to love the world and the things in the world, and goes into some more descriptive things there, because the world is passing away. And what this passage is about is a conflict of loves. What are our hearts drawn to? And verses 12 to 14, John writes that he is writing to believers in order to draw their hearts towards God. And I think that's the center of it. And we are going to grow through stages and phases. And so I think what we're doing here will be very helpful to tune all of our hearts to a greater love for God.
Well, and it'd be really hard to nail down exactly a path, a development path for the Christian, because there's some people that will be, they'll start out as young baby Christians, and they'll boom, they'll know their spiritual gift, and they'll have their mission, they'll understand what's going on, and they just need to develop knowledge. There'll be people who go to their church for their whole life, and just like they've memorized passages, but they never got saved. So they know tons about the Bible, and then all of a sudden they get saved, and they're like, holy moly, now I finally know Jesus. So they're in a whole different area of what it is to be. So it's not... We can't do hard and fast, okay?
No.
So I think that's one of the advantages, I think, of understanding that there are multiple phases of maturity, no matter where you are, is to say that, well, let's keep challenging ourselves. Let's keep growing in our love for God and His Word. And what would be another thing to challenge me, or what would be another thing to draw me closer? And so we've come up with some resources. It's going to be a data dump this time. I'm going to put all these onto the blog. We'll make sure that we get all the resources listed so you can click through and you can find these things. Just sit back and listen to some ideas. Yep. If one of them tweaks your brain, then go ahead and grab it.
And I'm going to say too, Steve is going to ask the questions and we're going to answer them. But just as like a forefronting to that, the way I've thought about these questions is based on my reflections from this text. And so I'll try and draw a little bit devotionally into the things that I reference. So as Steve asks the questions, you'll see me make like a 20-second transition from the text to resources.
Yeah, okay.
At least I'll try and do that.
And I haven't done any of that.
A little from the data dump.
And since I took something completely different from the text, I've completely broken mine up differently. So we're going to see how this goes anyway.
Okay. So we'll just mishmash this all together and see what happens in the end.
Yeah, see how it goes.
It's the Shepherd Pie episode. Well, my first place to start for young believers, whether they be younger kids, they're new, or an adult that's a new believer, or someone that just, it's all some. The salvation message has come together for them. What are some good resources or best resources that you can think of for this phase of Christianity? Who wants to start?
I do. I always do, because mine are usually a good jumping off point for Chad to argue with me. I kind of broke off. There's a bunch of different things. Okay, so in my sections, I'm going to talk about book, podcast, Bible, blog, preacher, class.
Wait, you said three things. Now you're changing. You got five things?
No. Three, I know. I got a million things. So I'm going to talk about some of them so you can tell me whether or not they're any good. So if I guess the number one thing.
Googling now.
The number one thing I want you to do if you're brand new to the Christian faith is to go buy a really good study Bible. I think that's the number one thing that you need to do. You can get the ESV study Bible. Now, if that feels a little bit too meaty for you, then go get the Life Application Study Bible, the NIV Life Application Study Bible. It's right now the number one best-selling Bible. The reason you need to do this is twofold. One is so that when you get into the Word and you get confused about what's in there, you want to know how to read it, or you need a Bible reading plan, or you need to know some basic theology, you want to know where your books are coming from. All the basic understanding of what it is to understand the Word is in a study Bible. So you go grab a really good study Bible. The Life Application Study Bible is written to an NIV, so it's like grade 4, grade 5 level reading, plus a bunch of notes that are very applicable to life, and they'll help you understand the Word better. ESV is a little bit more meaty, and it's got a bit more hardcore notes, but it's got a ton of really good theological supplement in it to help you understand theology.
And not to scare people, the study Bibles are the big fat ones on the
big
shelf.
Thick ones. Yeah. Chad, you want to do one, or you want me to do another one?
Oh, I see. You know what? Let me just let me use that just to piggyback and kind of basically agree with you. I think study Bible is absolutely critical. There are actually a number of really good ones out there today. I basically affirm what Elle has said there and just give you some additional resources. The ESV study Bible can tend to be just a little bit on the extra thick side. And what I've really found personally is the Reformation Study Bible put out by Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul, covers the same kinds of things, the same kinds of articles, but it's just a little bit more condensed. And recently, it's kind of become my favorite study Bible. So I'll just throw that out there.
There's a brand new one, the NIV Study Bible. They just redid the whole thing. And it's even bigger than the ESV Study Bible. Like, I mean, it's a tome.
With the study Bible, I'm not certain bigger is better. I tend to get them. I tend to like them. It's hard to take them to church. Like I carried my ESV study Bible to church a few times, but I actually threw out my shoulder. No, not really, but I could have.
Big books. I cannot deny.
Now, anyway, just throwing that out there. That's one I really like. I would recommend. And also, I don't think I'll mention it too. Really popular one. And I think it's the most popular selling study Bible is the MacArthur Study Bibles. Mm-hmm. And they come in like every version now. Mm-hmm. You can get them in. And that's one of the advantages of it, actually. In the New American Standard, the ESV, the NKJV, the NIV. And basically what you're getting there is, if you know anything about John MacArthur's ministry, you're getting his stuff. But he's so consistent, and is basically, I find that it's more focused on a basic understanding of each text as you go through, where the ESV or the Reformation Study Bible has a little bit more of the introductions and some of the other rich extra text resources. And so I can appreciate both for different reasons.
That. Yeah, you got to get that. And now, Chad, I have one on here that's called Preacher. Which preacher should you listen to at this level? And my answer is this. Listen to your church's preacher. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever church you're at, go to that one. We've said at the end of every single episode, go find a church that preaches the Bible, a church that preaches Jesus, and make sure that you go there. Listen to your pastor. I know that you're all fired up to listen to your podcast and listen to all these different things and stuff, but I want you to really pay attention to your home pastor, because he's serving you. He knows your community. He knows you. He loves you. You can ask him questions about it, and chances are he's got follow-up resources, and he's been praying about you that week. And so therefore it's God's word to you from him. So that's your preacher. Yeah, there's some really good stuff on the internet, but unfortunately you can get very comparative. And so I don't want you to do that at this stage. I want you to listen to your preacher and chew on his sermons and listen to that one.
Yeah, and I'll just absolutely affirm that. This is kind of a weird episode. I keep affirming Al. I'm not sure what's...
I'm counting. You're up to four times you agree with Al.
But
I've actually started making a tally.
I don't know what to do.
I would just add to that, to be an active member of a healthy church where you're hearing good preaching. I think there's a little bit fuller resource than just hearing from your pastor. It's also participating in the life of the church. Mm. I guess I'm just adding that to what Al said, not changing it really in any way. As far as my views on outside pastors, certainly there are great stuff out there. How are you supposed to know who the great stuff is? And people who are out there don't have any accountability that's related to you. So I'm always tell people, especially newer believers, if your pastor recommends somebody, go ahead, but be very careful with just getting all over the internet and finding stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of have a rule for myself that I shared with Al and Steve before. I focus on dead people who have passed the proof of time. Mm-hmm. If they've been sort of universally accorded a high status within all kinds of people within the Christian community over many years, their life's been free from scandal.
They're harder to find on podcasts.
Well, okay, sorry, I didn't know we were specifically...
Chad reads dead people.
Yeah, I didn't know we were specifically talking about podcasts. But
No, just...
Yeah.
Where is that? Where is that, you know, like Athanasius?
So let me give you some practical people. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher of the 20th century.
Okay, hold on. Chad, let me stop you for a second.
I'm just giving ideas.
I know, but you're about to go somewhere that is, I think, too deep for a new believer. Like Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you start chewing on that as a brand new believer, I think you're going to get overwhelmed. That's why.
Well, absolutely the opposite. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones got letters from little girl, who said to him, "It's so amazing because you're the only Bible teacher that I can actually understand that helps me walk through the Word."
Yeah, that was back when they educated people.
Well, there's some truth to that.
She probably spoke three languages by six.
No, I'm not trying to insult everybody, but honestly, people don't have the capacity these days, or the understanding, or the language skills. I don't know.
I totally what you're saying, Al, and I think there is some validity to that. Reading people from different eras can be more difficult just because their language, their presuppositions of what their hearers understand are a little different. But again, when I'm talking about these big guys, these are people who have been listened to by all kinds of people of different education. Spurgeon, for example.
Yeah.
was most popular, not most popular, very popular amongst the completely uneducated underclasses of London. And at the same time was also listened to by princes.
So that's why I like listening to his
sermons? It's probably why Steve's so into him.
Because people have reread his sermons because he wrote everything out and then recorded them. So that's how I
mean, he's not technically dead yet, but Billy Graham's another guy kind of like that who's proved the test of time. But you all see with his sermons, you know, everybody from Winston Churchill to who's very educated to whoever, they all sort of love and understand too. So I can appreciate there's some difficulty there, but don't let Al scare you off from the old dead guys, because there is a little bit of a transition, or I don't know what the right word is, translating ourselves into their way of thinking. But the big guns that I was talking about there, they're not the difficult people. They're not the far out theologians who've got in some philosophical thing. So Martin Lloyd-Jones, Charles Spurgeon, some of these kind of guys. Bunyan, John Bunyan, read Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay, now I would say this though, as Chad did say, couple that with your service area. You know, so you should be serving in your church. So where should you be serving as a young person or as a brand new Christian? I would say that you keep yourself flexible and you keep yourself helpful. Okay, so
you definitely get into the nursery. Your pastor needs you.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you there. So audiovisual, usher, PowerPoint, do some maintenance around the church, wash some dishes, make the coffee, stock the fridge, do the music if you got that kind of skill. You're not going to be teaching. You're not going to be leading. You're not going to be taking care of the kids because they don't know you that well yet. And if they do and if they do know you that well, then you should be maybe serving in a...
you should be getting mature, as Hebrews 6 says.
Exactly. So just go somewhere where you could be on a list and you can help out, but you can be flexible. Okay, that's new believers. Yeah. So let's move on.
Okay, the second phase, kind of the young men, women in the Christian walk. When I think of this, I think of myself when I went to college. I grew up in a Christian home. I kind of knew all the right stuff, but somewhere in my late teens, early 20s... became different for me. You know, it took a step deeper from this is what I believe to this is what I believe and this is why I believe it.
Yep.
You know, okay, so what are some resources for people in that stage?
If you didn't buy your ESV Study Bible before, go buy your ESV Study Bible now.
That's what I bought mine.
Hey, no, that's...
Yeah, for sure. I would say this. No, this is where you're going to start getting into podcasts. Okay, this is where you're really going to start wanting to add other things into your life as a middle-aged, you really start data dumping into your mind a bunch of different really good preachers and books. So I'm going to give you some podcasts first. So listen to Albert Mohler's The Briefing, which will teach you how to think like a Christian. So he'll talk about stuff in the news, and then this is what it is from a Christian worldview. Listen to a podcast called Mortification of Spin, which also takes current events and things that are happening in the church world and then teaches you what the Bible says and how to think about that. Listen to Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul, which is going to teach you how to understand the philosophy of the Christian faith, the theology of the Christian faith. And then one that I will throw out there as an awesome resource, look at the book by John Piper, which is an online video resource. What he does is he'll take a chapter or he'll take a verse and he will like mark the heck out of it by video and explain how to take a verse apart theologically, how to do it, how to discern the Bible, how to do a good hermeneutic of the Bible, how the whole thing works together, and you get to watch him draw on the Bible. It's amazing. It's really, really amazing. So do those four.
He's not quite dead yet, but you know.
He's not dead yet. No, but he's really good. So Chad, thoughts? Mohler's The Briefing, Mortification of Spin, Renewing Your Mind, R.C.'s Role. Look at the book, John Piper. Got any thoughts on what
actually,
they should...
I really like all those resources as well. All right. So I'll just go on a little bit of a different angle.
Yeah.
Just give you some reading things. And again, I want to do my little tie-in. When we look at the text that Steve read for us, one of the big things that it says is that young men have overcome the evil one. And in verse 14, it specifies, you're strong because the word of God remains in you. Mm-hmm. And we need to really grow in the word if we're going to grow and we're going to overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And so my recommended resources from that, again, I'm assuming the ones we've already talked about, you got your good study Bible, you're in a good church, you're serving in a good church. But then is to get some practical resources. And I think each of us needs to get an understanding of, and I'm going to give you three terms, theology or doctrine, the big picture of the Bible, which is called biblical theology, and how to read and understand the Bible. Now, Al's kind of gone into that with his John Piper thing there, so that's great. So I'm going to give you one resource that I think is outstanding. It's Robert Plummer's 40 Questions About Interpreting the Bible. It's an introductory book about how to really get in the Bible for yourself and read it. And it's done in these sort of bite-sized questions, which I think is a little bit unique. Still follows a theme. They're thematic questions. They go through the different things you need to learn in order to understand the Word. But I think something like that would be really helpful as you begin to grow in the Word. And then, because I could give so many different things, I'm just giving one recommendation for a good I'm going to give two, actually, for a good theology book. One is by J.I. Packer. And this is kind of crazy because this will sound kind of funny, but it's J.I. Packer's book called Knowing God. And this is just a book that's sort of about God himself, theology proper, the big picture. But you can't just read that one alone because you need a little bit of a historical and bigger picture context. So I'm also recommending Michael Horton's Core Christianity. And the reason I picked that one is because it's really good. And right now it's $3.50 on Kindle. So you can go out and get it right away. It's a good, reliable, helpful, big picture book written for a believer who is just being introduced to the idea of doctrine and theology for the first time, not to a college level, not to a seminary level, although he also writes those kind of books. So this one is the introductory level. I call this the Steve level. No.
I'm writing down the names of these books. I've read two of them, but the other one I didn't have.
Oh, good, so. Good. And then finally, the last one that I'm going to give on that, which goes into the biblical theology picture. That just means the big picture. Now, actually, we talked about these two. Go for the big picture story Bible. That's a good one. Read it to your kids and learn it for yourselves. But if you don't feel, you know, if you don't want to sit in the break room at work reading your big picture story Bible, I recommend Graham Goldsworthy's Gospel and Kingdom, which will help you to understand the Old Testament. Over and over and over, and Al, it's probably the same for you. When you talk to people, they don't really struggle with reading the Gospels and understanding what Jesus life was about. They don't really struggle with the main points from Paul and you know basically live out the Christian life. They struggle with how do we relate to the Old Testament. And Graham Goldsworthy's book Gospel and Kingdom shows Christians how to live and study the Old Testament. So those are the kind of angle I take on that one, just growing in their faith and growing
now
in
let's
the Word.
Connect that to the service area part of it where you need to be doing stuff. Now I would say in your life in this area, this is where you start to get convicted about your prayer life. And this is I don't pray enough. I should pray more. How do I pray better? There's a book called Prayer by Tim Keller, which is an excellent book.
Oh, yes, that's
a
great
prayer.
Book.
And so,
dang, I'm agreeing with Elle again. Something's wrong.
As you grow in theology and grow closer to God and grow closer to others, read Prayer by Tim Keller, Challenge Your Prayer Life. Or for that matter, read our favorite one, Dick Eastman's The Hour That Changes the World. That's a great one, too. But Prayer by Tim Keller.
Can't really more highly recommend that one. I've used that a lot.
Yeah.
No. Even now, I'll go back to it. I even use just as a helpful template for myself. I have a PDF copy of the book as well as a hard copy. And I pulled off from the PDF the page where he just sort of summarizes his prayer circle. And I don't use that on a regular basis because it's too mechanical for me. But sometimes I just like to look at it and think about it. And I'll just kind of go, I'll pray right through it mechanically in that sense because I'm just using it as a help for me.
Now, well, Chad says he's put into prayer circles. That's not exactly what he means. Don't believe. It's different. It's very different from the book.
A visual aid is what I am assuming.
Yeah, sorry. No, it's a visual aid.
A graphic organizer. To use teacher
words. Graphic organizer.
Okay.
Also, this is the point where maybe you really become a member of your church. If you're not already a member, become a member of your church. And go talk to your pastor about discovering your spiritual gifts. Whether that means take a spiritual gift inventory, whether it means in your service areas, start asking your friends, read a book on spiritual gifts, whatever. I mean, he's going to have a recommendation on that.
Tabidi Anilwabi's What is a Healthy Church Member?
Okay, that's
comes
a good
from
one.
The Nine Marks guys. Cool. It's a really helpful book for people, even if you're just thinking about church membership, looking for a church.
Can we move on to the third phase? What about the seasoned, older Christians, the ones that have been around for a long time? They're mature. They're generally the ones, you know, like people like myself look to for advice in spiritual matters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like elders, pastors, people that have been Christians for a long time. Those have been
the
on the deacon board.
That have been in the trenches.
Seasoned, the ones that are past all the apologetic stuff. What do they get challenged? What does Chad read to be challenged? What do I read to be challenged? What is, you know?
Notice he didn't say Steve.
Wait, Al's saying I'm old.
No, well, I mean, according to my interpretation of, you know, 1 John chapter 2, you are one of the older men.
Mm-hmm. Steve's a young man. Come on. If Steve's old, that means something about us, Al.
I know. Okay, so let me throw out a resource here. I got a couple that I want to say, but I'll make this first one. And that is, it's a website called Monergism. Monergism is a great website. Why? Because when you go on there, this is where you can get your sermons by Charles Spurgeon, by Martin Luther, by Martin Lloyd-Jones, by R.C. Sproul. They're all on there for free. This is where there's tons of theology to read. All the Calvin Institutes are on there. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons on there, and you could just chew through it, and it's all really good stuff. So monergism.com, go check that out. Follow the blog. They'll point you to new stuff. The free ebooks, it's all free. So I would say do that. Go pile on some of that stuff. Read their top level stuff that they that they recommend, and you can't go wrong. The second thing, second book I'd recommend is a book called The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that we need in our church is the people that really understand how to go and get involved in relationships that are falling apart, how to be reconcilers. Secondarily, this is where you're going to find in your church a lot of, or in your own heart, where there's you have some bitterness building and you have some anger building and you got some resentment and you wonder, how do you deal with that? How do you get over stuff? The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy is an amazing, very thick read, hard read, to help you understand what it means to be a reconciler in your church and reconciler in your life. This is hard stuff, complicated, obedient stuff that's going to rip out your heart and step on it, but it will ultimately be better for you, better for your relationship with God and with your church. So I'd highly recommend The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy.
I hate to be in any way the contrarian, but I'm just going to take this in a kind of almost a totally different direction and just take it devotionally and say, we got to keep growing. We should never stop with our study Bibles. We should never stop with our resources of getting into the Word. But I think we also need a focus of just maturing in that kind of inner spirituality. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with prayer and some of the things. But one of the things that I find really helpful for that, and maybe we're talking about this, you've kind of gone along in the faith for a while. You've wrestled with some of the challenges in apologetics and theology. And you don't, it's not that you can't grow there anymore, but sometimes you just need to refresh yourself for the battle. And I think for some of that, for me, reading the great biographies of the faith really helps me to do that.
For sure.
To see how someone else walked before me, went through the struggles, to identify with them.
For sure,
there are so many.
For sure.
We could put some recommendations up, but I mean, go to your local Christian, they don't exist anymore. Go to christianbook.com, look up biographies, and don't pull the fluffy one. Don't find like the football player who says he's a Christian now. When I'm talking about the great heroes of the faith,
Bonhoeffer.
Some of these people have already talked about. Yeah, Bonhoeffer, Spurgeon, Lloyd-Jones, John Owen, John Calvin, the great reformers, St. Augustine. Read Augustine's Confessions.
Oh, I love that book.
It's a self, it's probably the first autobiography. It's generally kind of considered, it's a spiritual autobiography and perhaps the first autobiography of Western literature. So it's quite fascinating. That might go to Julius Caesar's Vini Vidi Vici, but you know, I came, I saw, I conquered. But anyway, better to read Augustine. And then grab something. What I like, a little resource called Table Talk Magazine. I don't know if you guys have got that.
Yep.
You should if you haven't. It's inexpensive. It's, again, put out by Ligonier. It has everybody who's kind of around the circles. They R.C. Sproul, of course, is in it. John MacArthur's in it. John Piper's in it. Ligon Duncan. Bunch of guys who I really respect. And they do a daily devotional, which is very similar to, if you're familiar with, like, Our Daily Bread. Just a simple devotional, but it's just a little more consistent in working through, like, a book or a doctrinal concept, which I kind of appreciate, but same sort of level. But then it also has more in-depth articles on key points. And I just find it very encouraging, keeps you in the Word and gives me a little hint of depth. And then it also has recommended books to buy so that your wife can be upset with you for ordering more books. Maybe that's just me. So that's
help me out here too.
Good stuff.
Ligonier right now has a series that they're doing on of biographies. Stephen Nichols, I think, is putting out a bunch
of them. Actually, those are really good.
And they're super good. They're a good read. They're all written by the same guy. He's super interesting. He's a really good writer. And
If you want to get started on him, hit up the Nichols.
Yeah, great stuff.
I think the first one I read of his was the Martin Luther one, How a Monk with a Mullet.
A mallet. It's
mallet.
Called the Reformation. Wow. How a Monk and a Mallet Changed the World.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Really good.
And then I'll just sort of add on there. Ligonier has something called Ligonier Connect, which is basically it's basically like getting a Netflix account. It's the same kind of price point. Yep. I think it's $8 a month or something like that. That has everything on there for Christian growth. It has devotional. It has theology. It has biography. It has church history. It has Bible surveys.
Yep.
So just get onto a resource like that.
Ligonier are really good. And you're absolutely right, Chad, that at this level, it's not about dumping knowledge into your head, but about practicing that which you have been learning for the last however many years and seeking to deepen yourself in Christ. I would say practically when it comes to actually the service area, this is where you go get elder training. This is where you go get small group leader training. This is where you don't have to become a small group leader. You don't have to become an elder. You don't have to become a deacon. But you go through the training so you can see what it means to be held accountable, what it means to grow yourself spiritually, why you need to start reading and memorizing your Bible, what it means to have a consistent prayer life, why your sin life and your giving life and all the rest of that stuff is so important. And it'll challenge you. So take the training, whatever your church has. But really, it's about deepening yourself. It's furrowing that ground even further.
And, you know, I think Al would agree with this. A lot of this is kind of cyclical as well, where I kind of find that you just want to have a little bit of devotional breath, and then you kind of want to get in deep into a topic again. And then, you know, for me, I kind of go in and out of that. I'll read a couple of biographies, really love them. Then I want to read a theology book. Then I want to read, you know, just some biblical study stuff. And you're constantly in that kind of growing cycle like that. So it's not so much about... In fact, Hebrews, I think, is a great illustration of that, where it talks about going on from the basic things and moving on. But it makes point that we never really leave those things behind. We just kind of mature.
Well, again, there are some Christians out there that I met that they've been Christians for 40 years, and they've parked on something. They parked on creation versus evolution, and that's their one topic. Or they talk about, all they talk about is Jehovah's Witnesses, how they just love to beat the snot out of Jehovah's Witnesses when they come into the door. They've studied that for 50 years, and they've never gotten over it. It has to be cyclical. You have to move away from that and get into deeper
stuff. Gotta broaden.
Yeah, you have to.
It's great.
Absolutely agree. Well, this is a bad day.
Clearly,
we're gonna listen to this podcast. Oh, I love you. Yeah, you love me. We all love one another.
It can't be right. One of us is clearly wrong. Didn't you say earlier you're on a ton of cold medication right now?
I am.
Okay.
It could be the drug speaking.
That explains it.
Eight times, Chad said he agreed with Al.
Holy mackerel.
That is probably eight times more often than normal.
Welcome to the Carnivore Theology Mutual Edification Society.
Wow. Yeah, we'll have to change the Latin inscription on the wall.
To find out more about Carnivore Theology, get some custom merchandise, download bulletin inserts and posters, or send us some ideas about topics you'd like us to cover, visit our website at www.carnivoretheology.com. For even more Carnivore Theology content, check out our new CT Shorts video series on our YouTube channel. If you like what we're doing, please share us with your church and friends, like us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. And, as always, we encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
And answers your questions to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, bacon-loving, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Woohoo!
It was your idea.
That's why.
No wonder he's looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I am really tempted to buy the Audible version of Johnny Cash reading the Bible just to listen to that.
Just to stick that in during our episodes? There you go. Yeah.
I don't think I would have the license to do that, but if we did, we'd be playing the Bible a lot more often.
That's right.
I'm just thinking the atomic program in the States used to call peacemakers the bombs. So it was hard for me to take that in while I'm trying to remove this visual and such from books I've read. So sorry, I like military history sometimes. So you can delete that later, Al.
I intend to.
Okay, Chad.
I have no idea where that was going.
Nope. I really struggled to listen to that because I'm like, peacemakers, not bombs.
Actually, the 9mm Parabellum is also known as the peacemaker. That's the gun used by the RCMP. I believe the idea behind it was that that you make peace with the bullet.
Right.
Anywho.
Well, everybody's quiet after they're all shot.
Yeah. Before we close off, Steve, what's the most impactful thing in the last few years that you've read or listened to or Christian resources helped you grow?
I don't do well with sitting down and reading a book. I don't like sitting. I usually if I'm sitting, I fall asleep. So I tend to be busy with all things. So I do audible.com, and I get a lot of books from there. So like last summer, I listened to Knowing God by J.I. Packer. That was really good.
That was one of mine, Al. Just want you to know that.
A couple of years ago, I borrowed from my local, my pastor, his Bonhoeffer. What's it called? Cost of Discipleship.
There's a few.
You know, and I did read that, and that really impacted me. I'm still, sometimes I feel like I'm still really trying to apply that to my own life.
That's a classic.
Because it doesn't fit with any of the prosperity gospel that somehow is in our culture. But anyways, those are the things that I enjoy. I love podcasts because they're quick. I'm driving to town, which is 15 minutes away. I live in a tiny town, so I'm going to the town with things. And 15 minutes podcast, or if it's half hour podcast, I can listen to the whole thing, but there and back. And even my kids are starting to want to ask. They're asking to, can we listen to Carver Theology, or can we listen to this, or can we listen to this, or can we, or Jonathan Park, we're listening to that like crazy. And I'm a little tired of Jonathan Park, may say, but that's just, homeschooling your own kids. So, anyways, those are the things that I do. I try to find things that kind of I can work into my schedule without it being an add-on, because and then combine it with what I'm already doing. So I love the fact when I'm driving, which I do a lot for work, I'm listening to books or listening to podcasts, or and most of the time it is, biblically based stuff, like that books you guys have recommended. I mean, I wrote down some of the things you talked about today that I haven't read yet. And I'm going to put it on, on my wish list on my Audible account, and the right time I'll add it in. So,
and I want you guys to notice I didn't plug my new book, The Foundations, which is available on artofthechristianninja.com, even once, even though it's free and available in multiple formats. The Foundations
by Alan Bennett. That is amazing. Al is so humble that he wouldn't even mention that he is the author of multiple wonderful devotional resource books that will help you grow from milk to meat.
Because that would be self-serving, and I wouldn't do such a thing.
And he didn't even mention, the Carnivore Theology in his podcast list.
Mm-mm.
It's a little... So not self-serving at all.
Nope, not at all.